excess body weight is a term that's often used to say that people are getting heavier than they should, and it really links to the fact that people tend to become fatter, lose muscle mass perhaps, but gain body weight in excess in terms of fat tissue that may sit at different parts of the body, maybe under the skin, subcutaneous fat.
Mm-hmm.
There may be also a component of fat that's particularly bad for health, more intra-abdominally,
mm-hmm.
In the abdomen. And then there could be fat on other parts of the body, in women, particularly also in the hips.
Mm-hmm.
Excess body weight is a general term to refer to the adiposity problem, and particularly in terms of adiposity that's linked to bad health outcomes. Fat on the hips, perhaps, in women is less of a problem in health terms than fat in the abdomen, or subcutaneous fat in the abdominal region. So it's particularly the latter two components that are actually
mm-hmm.
being targeted by the term. It links also very much to the question of, or the definition of, obesity and overweight categories as defined by the World Health Organization in terms of body mass index. So a body mass index, that's weight divided by height to the square. That's an index that gives a global impression of how large is someone for a given size in terms of height. It correlates strongly with body fatness, and the overweight category is a body mass index of 25 to 30, and 30 plus is called obesity, and I think the latter two categories combined are also often referred to as excess body weight categories. But that's a more pragmatic interpretation of the term, because one should realize that perhaps also these categories, as defined by the WHO, do not always match exactly the limits at which bad health consequences already start to exist. So excess weight, obesity, is a clear risk factor for a number of cancers that become very frequent in the industrial developed part of the world.
Right.
In women, this is cancer of the endometrium, it's cancer of the breast. So excess weight increases risk, adiposity increases risk of breast cancer after menopause. It's in men and women, it's colon cancer, it's cancer of the kidney, renal cell tumors. Adenocarcinoma of the esophagus has a strongly increased risk among more obese people. And in men, also aggressive prostate cancer risks are clearly increased amongst those that have that are in the overweight or obese categories, as by WHO definitions. The relative risks vary for these cancer types. For some cancers, the association is stronger than for others. The strongest
mm-hmm.
associations are seen for adenocarcinoma of the esophagus
mm-hmm.
and endometrial cancer, where the obese categories, as compared to lean subjects, may have 3.5 to 4-fold increases in risk.
Mm-hmm.
For some other cancers, the relative risks are a bit less. But there's a strong connection between excess weight and cancer risks, epidemiologically speaking, for a large number of tumors.
Okay.
Yes, there is. There have been quite numerous studies where epidemiological studies, that is, where data were collected on physical activity, either as part of work or in daily living, through various methods, questionnaires usually, of various types. And almost invariably, these studies show that those who have higher levels of physical activity tend to have lower risks of colon cancer. And there's also substantial evidence that indicates a reduced risk also for breast cancer. These are two of the more frequent cancer types that have been studied also therefore more intensely. It is quite possible that for further cancer types there are similar inverse relationships. They have certainly also really documented also for some other tumor types, but maybe globally the evidence is not yet as strong as for colon and breast. But the suspicion is definitely that for other tumor types as well, there'll be inverse associations. It very much links up with alterations in hormone metabolism that occur when people grow too fat, and at the same time also when they're physically inactive. These are often two factors that jointly contribute to the changes in hormone metabolism that I'm referring to. A first very important hormonal metabolic change in obesity and in case of lack of physical activity is what's called insulin resistance. That is a lack of response of muscle, liver, and other tissues to insulin in terms of glucose uptake from the circulation, from blood. And this is compensated for by an increase by the pancreatic in pancreatic insulin secretion. So people that have insulin resistance tend to have higher fasting and non-fasting insulin levels. And insulin is actually a hormone that is more and more being incriminated as also as a growth factor that can stimulate growth and proliferation of cells, that inhibits the apoptosis of cells, and that through these actions can favor the development of tumors. So that is one hormone that is very central, that has been intensely, more and more intensely studied from this perspective. A second set of hormones that are very important, particularly in relation to cancers in women, endometrial cancer and breast cancer in particular, are sex hormones, especially estrogens. After the menopause, women no longer produce estrogens in their ovaries, but they do still produce androgens in the adrenal glands and in the ovaries, and these androgens can be converted in fat tissue into estrogens. And it is observed that as women grow fatter after menopause, they will then also have higher circulating estrogen levels in blood. The estrogens play an important role in the development of endometrial cancer. It's well known from a number of observations experimentally, but also epidemiologically, that raising levels of estrogens in blood will promote the development of both endometrial and breast tumors. Another component that is actually a little bit more complicated but quite important with respect to endometrial cancers especially is that in the premenopausal women, obesity is also strongly linked in some women with a phenomenon called ovarian hyperandrogenism. That is, the ovaries would tend to produce too large amounts of androgens. It's also often referred to as the polycystic ovary syndrome. Here we know that hyperinsulinemia play an important role in the stimulation of androgen synthesis by the ovaries. And when this syndrome of polycystic ovary syndrome develops, we see chronic anovulation. And in premenopausal women, we have then the phenomenon that they do no longer produce progesterone in the second phase of the menstrual cycle. It's the absence of progesterone in this particular case in the younger women that is a strong contributing factor also to the development of endometrial cancer. So these are a number of important mechanisms. Further, hormones that are certainly being implicated include, for example, the insulin-like growth factors. Higher levels of insulin lead to larger fractions of insulin-like growth factors that can reach target tissues and receptors. There's a free biologically active fraction of IGF-1 that is increased in in blood and in tissues in more hyperinsulinemic subjects. And actually, insulin-like growth factors can also, just like insulin itself, which shares a great deal of homology, promote tumor development by promoting cell growth, division, and inhibiting apoptosis.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little epidemiologic evidence that suggests that this might happen, but that's probably simply due to the fact that there are not many people who, once obese, when they lose weight, are able to maintain that lower weight for a very long period.
Mm.
So it's hard to find people, large numbers of people that are like that, amongst whom one can then see what their risks are as compared to those who did not lose weight. There's definitely physiologic evidence from other sources to suggest that some of the hormonal effects that may mediate the effects of adiposity on cancer development could be late-stage effects.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could also be early-stage effects. But insofar there can be also late-stage growth-promoting effects, you might suspect that when you lower estrogen levels, for example, by lowering body weight, that one might still, even at later age, have a lower cancer risk as a consequence. It is simply, however, as I already said, the problem is that people do not usually manage to lose weight and maintain that lower weight. So a strong general recommendation that has come out of epidemiologic research is to avoid weight gain throughout life, rather than trying to revert it at all once you've already reached this bad stage.
Mm.
That's, I think, still by and large an open question. I don't think we've got enough evidence to say much about it. I can just say that it is quite plausible that excess weight may have early stage effects, leading through hyperinsulinemia, for example, to early stage genetic alterations that may be the first steps in tumor development. It's plausible that development, the accumulation of such early mutations, is actually favored by a hyperinsulinemic state for some tumors. But as I already also mentioned, there can also be later stage effects on growth that may be linked to hormones that are at higher levels amongst more obese people. So it might well be both, but for the moment this is more a speculation than something that we've really been able to prove in epidemiology. It's very difficult to deconvolute certain elements in this type of research. We do know that people who have higher degrees of excess weight, have a higher body mass index, tend to have a higher risk than those at the intermediate body mass index in the overweight categories as compared to the lean. But one possible speculation is that this is not just a dose response effect only in terms of the metabolic alterations that correlate with that, but also that people who are already in the higher end of the obesity scale may have been obese longer even before, in an earlier phase of life, because it generally develops rather slowly.
And
that's something we are also not able to really answer that question. What is more important here? My speculation would be that with the increase in the obesity epidemic, also amongst very young people, that this may lead to an earlier occurrence of some of the tumors that are linked with obesity than what we've seen so far. Well, I mentioned earlier something about the relative increase in risk for more obese as compared to leaner people, with relative risks varying from maybe slightly below twofold increase to up to fourfold, depending on the tumor type. Based on the relative risk and also the prevalence of excess weight in the population, we can make estimates of what's to call the population attributable fractions, the part of overall cancer occurrence that it may that's potentially related to excess weight in particular as a separate risk factor. When we do such calculations, we clearly come to rather high estimates for a number of tumors that are frequent in our society, in our industrialized societies. The population attributable fraction may be the order of about 20% for colon cancer, but it may be as high as 50% for endometrial cancer or 40% for renal cell tumors, to name a few examples. Overall, thinking of all the cancer occurrences in society, which some also are simply not obesity linked, maybe more linked to smoking or to other risk factors. But still, when one looks at the overall cancer burden in a country such as the USA or Western European countries, it is quite clear that after smoking, excess weight is probably the most important factor that one should try to avoid to reduce the cancer burden, maybe together with an increase in physical activity.